I'll just sing one hymn. I always feel bad sometimes for the person in the middle. Let's give out a hymn. So Luke or Ian, whoever's going in the middle, if you have a hymn in your mind, you can give it out. So we'll open the meeting. Welcome you tonight. And for the week, no youth group tomorrow night. We're in Canada today. But our prayer meeting, Bible study at 7:30 on Thursday. Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, if you welcome these meetings, are in the will of the Lord. And of course, the gospel is preached every Sunday at 7 o'clock, and you'd be welcome. We trust tonight that you'll, if you're not saved, that tonight will be the night when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. We're not preaching the gospel hall. We're not preaching man's ideas. We're not preaching baptism, even though we believe that that those that are saved should be baptized. And hopefully very soon there's a number that are going to be baptized, and you'll be able to witness that. But it's baptizing does not save you. And really tonight, by opening for two brethren, I'm just simply going to tell you how I was saved. It'll be, just calculate today, it'll be 30 years in August. Hard to believe. So before we do open the Bible, we'll just take a moment to pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that we can sing about Jesus died for me. And for many, that was simply really the words that came to us, especially those of us that were young. It just came so simply. And really, the gospel is very simple. Sometimes there's things about sin and the consequences of sin that are difficult, maybe not so enjoyable to speak of, but yet we are thankful for a God that loves us so much, and he provided the remedy and the answer for sin when he sent his son to die upon the cross. We just ask for help tonight. As the meeting goes on, just pray for any here that are not saved, that they would put their trust in the Savior, in the Savior's name. Amen. I'll read two very well-known verses. The first one is actually posted on the wall, John chapter 3 and verse 16, and then another well-known verse in Romans 5 and 6. Many here, you could probably quote both of these verses. You've learned them in Sunday school, no doubt. So we're reading John chapter 3. In verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Very simple words, 25 words, very simple, a lot of meaning in them. But let's go to Romans chapter 5. And verse 6, for when were we yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Again, very simple words. And as I mentioned, it'll be August 24th of this year. It'll be 30 years since I became a believer, became a Christian. Now, we live in a world, and the term Christian or Christianity gets thrown around a little bit loose. There's a misconception by some that, well, I was born in Canada, so, generally a Christian country, therefore I'm a Christian, or I went to church, I was baptized as a baby, all these different things, that therefore I'm a Christian. Well, that's not what the Bible speaks about Christianity. Being a Christian is really being one that is born of God, being one that is like Christ. As believers, we still have the flesh, we still sin, but there's something that happens when we become a Christian. The moment that we are saved, if we were to read in John chapter 3 earlier, we would see that there's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. He was really, when it comes to the Old Testament scriptures of the Bible, we could really say that he was an expert. No doubt, as a leader of the Pharisees, he would have memorized large portions of the Old Testament, in particular, the first five books of the Bible. Many of those boys, they could quote that whole section off by heart. So can you imagine the shock in Nicodemus' mind when the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we are not preaching religion. And I'm thankful that I had parents that brought me well to the old hall out in Springfield West. And again, nothing special with the building, nothing special with the people, just simple Christians that have a desire to practice the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to see other people saved. And I'm thankful for parents that prayed for me. But just because I was born in a Christian home didn't get me any closer to heaven. Within each one of us, we have a wicked heart. We have something within our very beings because we are humans called sin. You know, I have two kids. I didn't have to teach either one of them to lie. I didn't have to teach them how to duke it out, how to fight. I didn't have to teach them how to disobey. I didn't have to teach them how to say bad things or do bad things. It just come natural. Why? Because we are sinners. And as a boy, I never really get into a lot of trouble, but anybody that knew me as a kid knew that I was not perfect. I was hyper. I had, I still have sometimes trouble focusing on whatever, but the fact that I was born in a Christian home didn't make me any closer to God. Maybe you were sitting here tonight and you're in the same scenario as me. Maybe you weren't born in those circumstances, but it doesn't really matter. The Bible is very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm thankful for parents, and I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers, and I'm thankful for older brother and some that are here tonight that as a kid they preached the gospel faithfully. And I'm thankful for different ones that took an interest in my soul, and I'm so thankful for every prayer. I'm thankful for parents that brought me to gospel meetings and special gospel series. But again, all those things were great. They were awesome. But again, it didn't make me any better. And we are thankful that you are here tonight. But, coming to church is not a check mark of maybe a list of things to get me closer to heaven. That's another idea we have in the world where, well, if I do enough good, then it'll outweigh the bad and then God will accept me into heaven. You cannot do enough good to counteract one sin. One sin will keep you out of heaven forever. And the verse that we read, for God so loved the world. Now you look at a world tonight where there's so much crime and there's so much corruption and everything else going on in the world, and God looks down on a world of 7 or 8 billion people. And God loves every single person. We can look at the criminals and, there's a part that is, we can be righteously angry about sin, and God is angry with sin. Again, we live in a world where there's a number of different misconceptions of God. Some people think, well, God is just this, stern, sinister character that can't wait to send people to hell. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. And we have read that, for God so loved the world. We can read in 1 John that God is love. But yet there's another side of God, and this is where people go off. They don't understand that God is holy, God is righteous. There's that which is sin and God that they can't mix. Have you ever tried to take water and dump it into oil? They just don't mix. They'll separate. That's just the very character of God. Because of who he is, sin cannot exist in his presence. And that's why we, as humans that are sinners, God has no choice but to send us to destruction, to eternal suffering, because sin is just so outrageously, I can't even think of the word to describe it. But that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God is offering you a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as a boy, I went to meetings and remember different series. And as a Christian, I became so familiar with it. And maybe I was just enjoying that this morning as we were here remembering the Lord. And how often is it we've come so familiar with the Bible? We've come so familiar with the Christmas story and the Easter story. And as Christians, sometimes it becomes almost like it happened so long ago. It almost maybe becomes almost a bit of a fairy tale to us. But these, you read through the Gospels and read what the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, it really happened. God sent his Son into the world. It's an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but it really happened. And as the Creator came into the world as he was born of a virgin, he really lived in this world, and as he moved for 33 years, and he performed miracles, and he showed who he was with his character, with his words, and with his actions, and yet man showed their character and who they were. They were jealous. They wanted nothing to do with him, and ultimately they delivered him up to be crucified. That's what they thought of God. And maybe it's easy for us to sit here tonight and look back and be hard on those people because of what they did. But tonight, if you were not saved, that's exactly what you were doing to God's Son. God is presenting you his Son, the ultimate and the perfect sacrifice for your sins, wherewith your sins can be forever taken away and God can receive you into heaven based upon what the Lord Jesus has done. But if you are not saved up until this point, you are really saying no to God. God is presenting the gift to you and you are turning your back on it. And that's really, you know, for my first 10 years of my life, I had every intention of being saved, but again, right here, one step, in here. Was it Paul last week that spoke about that? I think it was Paul. There's one step between me and death. We haven't had to go back too far. We have to go far away from here to be reminded of how quick life can end. There's a boy of 10. The meetings began in Sherbrooke, just outside of Summerside. Mr. Hull, Albert Hull, gone to heaven a few years ago, and Eugene Higgins, they preached the gospel, and anybody that has listened to him, very capable, very gifted men, and both men, I really enjoyed their preaching, but even as an unbeliever, but again, I went to those meetings and never really gave it a lot of thought. I just went, you know, night in, night out. But there was a couple of people. Peter Ramsey's daughter, Stephanie, was saved in that series, and there was a couple other people saved, and I never gave it a lot of thought, but then Daryl and Wendy, their wedding was that summer, and Trent McDonald, my now brother-in-law, and I were sharing a room over in Sussex, and we were watching TV or something, and we were chatting for a bit. And Trent, just before we went to bed, he just said, "Dean, have you ever thought of being saved?" And again, that was a bit of a, yeah, I probably should be. Anyway, we went off to sleep, the wedding happened, and so that was August 6th. So a couple weeks later, went to the meeting, I think it was a Wednesday night, August 24th, and As Eugene Higgins was preaching on John 3 and 16, I just remember as I was sitting there, as Eugene was speaking about, you know, about God's character and because of sin, he was going to have to, you know, judge sin. And I just remember it almost seemed like I just sort of faded out of the meeting for a few moments. And I began to think, well, that's what the Bible says. And I don't want to go to hell. And just almost in an instant, again, I went into that meeting with no intentions of being saved that night. And maybe, I'm not sure what your intentions were here tonight. Maybe you're just here because your parents brought you. But I just remember sitting there. And just as soon as that thought came into my mind, I don't want to go to hell. And the verse Romans 5 and 6 came into my mind. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And it just came to me, well, if Christ died for ungodly, I had no trouble accepting that I was ungodly. But the verse said, for when we're yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, just like we sung tonight, Jesus died for me. If Jesus died for me, I'm not going to hell because sin is taken away. And that's how simple the gospel is. And maybe often we complicate it. You know, I know myself, sometimes we'll be going through, I might want to go to speak on it. It seems to come an awful lot easier when you're by yourself. But tonight, if you forget everything else that I said, remember this. Your sins will bury you from heaven eternally because of God's character. But God has sent his Son into the world, and 2,000 years ago he went to the cross. And he answered to God for every single sin that was ever committed in this world, including yours, including mine. And all God is wanting you to do, he's passing the gift out to you. We've all received gifts. Christmas time, birthdays, graduation time. The card or the gift, whatever it was presented to you and you took it. God is just simply presenting his Son as a gift to you. He just wants you to accept it. So tonight, for when we were yet without strength, when we are totally unable to do anything for ourselves, at the very right time, just the perfect time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me. He died for you. Are you going to accept it? Or are you going to reject it?